Thank you so much, Joan, for inviting me, and thank you all for being here. I have shorter pieces, so I'm going to read three pieces. We're going to start off a little sad and then a little end happy, I promise. Starting with fiction, then nonfiction, and then kind of a cross between the two. This first story is called Not Daniel. I parked in the shadows behind the hospice center and waited. I held a box of condoms on my lap, Magnum XLs. It was like being 16 again, except this time I bought the condoms instead of relying on the boy. This time the boy was a man I had mistaken for someone I'd gone to junior high with when our paths first crossed 2 weeks before at the main entrance of the hospice center. I was coming, he was going. I thought he was Daniel McMurray, so I stared longer than I should have, and he stared back. Later that evening, I'd run into him again, coming out of the room across from my mother's. His mother had breast cancer, mine, ovarian. I checked my phone, 10:27. I timed the Walmart run for the condoms pretty well. Not Daniel would be down in 3 minutes. To throw Nurse Irie, the night nurse, off the trail, we never left or returned to the floor at the same time. Her name wasn't really Irie, but I called her that behind her back because she was Jamaican. She was also as mean as a snake. I had complained to the head of the hospice center about her, suggesting that her brusque manner was better suited for the morgue. But Nurse Irie liked Not Daniel. She didn't cop an attitude when he asked questions about his mother's care. He told me she even joked with him late one night as he walked around the floor in his skimpy running shorts. Boy, you keep running around here in those itty-bitty things, somebody might mess around and give you a sponge bath. Nurse Irie was not a stupid woman. Perhaps she would put two and two together and figure out that Not Daniel and I were, what were we? What do you call it when your mothers are hospice neighbors and the nights are endless and sleepless, and here's someone else who spent the day talking to insurance companies and creditors and banks and pastors and relatives and friends, some more well-intentioned than others. Someone else who is the dutiful son to your dutiful daughter, another family's chief shit handler, bail bondsman, maid, chauffeur, therapist, career advisor, ATM. Here's someone else who both welcomes and dreads death as it loiters in the wings, an unpredictable actor. What do you call it when that someone else wears a wedding band but never mentions his wife by name? A wife and two kids back home in the next state over. Don't ask, don't tell. At exactly 10:30, Not Daniel tapped the passenger side window. For a few moments, we sat in silence the way we always did at first. Sometimes I would cry, sometimes he would too, because we could out here, beyond the reach of our mother's Jesus, nurses on autopilot, empty platitudes and garbage theology about God's will disguised as comfort. And then eventually, one of us would speak. Sorry, double-sided pages are not good. But this night, how to begin? Pick up where we'd left off the night before, when yet another rambling conversation about funerals and selfish siblings suddenly became kissing, became my t-shirt off, became my nipples and Not Daniel's mouth. This is how we began. Not Daniel took the box of condoms from me and set it on the dashboard next to my phone. Then he set his phone on the dashboard. I knew his ringer volume, like mine, was on the highest setting because that call could come at any moment. Then he took my face in his hands and looked at me. I dropped my eyes. No, he said, I need you to be here. All of you, here. Lifting my eyes to meet his, I felt like Sisyphus pushing that rock. In his eyes, I saw wife, kids, dying mother, wife, kids, dying mother. I blinked and blinked again until my vision cleared. In the backseat, Not Daniel undressed me, undressed himself, and then buried his face between my legs. I reached over my head, clutched the door behind me, and cried, as I came over and over again. By the time Not Daniel pulled me to my knees, my legs were limp and useless. He turned me away from him, pressing his palm against the center of my back and pushed me forward. He draped his body over mine and entered me. He was rough, but not unkind. I wondered if he was thinking what I was thinking. What if one of our mothers dies while we're down here rutting around, as my grandmother would say? But in the cramped space of the back seat and our grief and our need, there was no room for fear or guilt, only relief. And that's what I told Not Daniel when we were both spent, our damp backs sticking to the leather seat. Relieved, he frowned and then smiled. Relieved? Then I failed to deliver the goods. No, no, I said, you delivered the goods. The goods were delivered and received, but I do have a question. Shoot. Were you worried that one of them would die while we were down here? Thought never crossed my mind. Really? Really? Listen, I can either deliver the goods or I can think about my mama dying or not. I can't do both. And then I laughed, even though I felt like I shouldn't have, even though nothing was as it should be. So this one is nonfiction. It's called Whiting. Whiting has been called the hot dog of the sea because it's so cheap. But fishermen love this tasty sport fish because it grabs the lure hard and puts up a good fight. My father said, every Sunday morning while your mother lies across town dying, I will make you fried whiting, grits, and cat's head biscuits to make up for telling a judge that you weren't mine. Something to fill your 33-year-old belly for that time I tried to pass you off as my little sister to my new girlfriend when you were 3. A hearty breakfast for those times when you were in grade school and I took you to bars and fed you french fries with ketchup as you fed quarter after quarter into the pinball machine while I drank bottle after bottle of pink champagne. Some southern hospitality for asking you to call other women mama. A home-cooked meal for that time I got you a car but didn't make the payments, so the repo man tracked you down at college and took it back. Something to stick to your ribs for those times when I said I would come pick you up, take you to the fair, give you lunch money, but didn't. My father said, I already buttered the grits and the biscuits for you. You know how to pick the bones out the whiting, don't you? I do the math, the brittle calculus that this fatherless girl has learned. Take the value of the car my father did not actually buy me, subtract 33% rage because the repo man kept his gun holstered, add 5 figures in unpaid child support, then carry the time he bragged to me, I got me a white girl. The answer equals exactly 6 Sundays worth of breakfast, a fraction of what it cost me to gather up the pieces of a girl shattered into bits like broken seashells gathered from the sands of the ocean floor. My father said, this is your inheritance. Spread it like balm on your broken heart. Some fried whiting, some grits, and cat's head biscuits. You know they call them cat's head biscuits because they are as big around and fluffy as a cat's head. I did not know that. For 33 years, I put up a good fight, but my mother lies dying across town. Cancer rages, and believing that I must always be looked after in this world, my mother has asked my father to make things right with me, and she has asked me to let him. She does not, however, give us a blueprint for this. So, come Sunday morning, I eat breakfast at my father's house. I come again and again until my mother dies one August morning. Then I travel 1,000 miles back to my other life, the life I left behind to be with my mother as she transitioned while riding upon wave after wave of our laughter spiked with delauded from this world to the next after 52 too short years. I go back to my life with two wide-eyed daughters and a soon-to-be ex-husband, a man who is a prized blue marlin of a father. By December, my father will also be dead, a massive stroke. I don't know this during those six Sunday morning breakfasts, of course. I simply enjoy. I close my eyes and tell myself, this is what love tastes like. Every bone in the whiting is an apology. Every grain of the grits an apology. The cat's head biscuit, a mound of apologies. Everything my father does not say. So I promised we would end with fun. Here's some fun. I'll stand up on this one. All right. So this is a combination of fiction and nonfiction. I'll let you just imagine what's true and what's not. It's called Forecast for Sex by 50 When You Are a 46-Year-Old Black Woman. Your soon-to-be second ex-husband calls just to say, hey. But you've already begun to forget how it felt to be beneath him. Today's forecast, cloudy, with no chance of ever going back. Happy hour, and you're wearing your thigh-high boots and your favorite black sweater with the cleavage-revealing cutout and your tightest jeans, and the dude with a gorgeous smile sitting diagonally from you at the bar keeps staring. Today's forecast, clouds will let up, and the chance of getting laid is equivalent to your liquid courage, minus your fear of herpes and other STDs condoms will not protect you from. Chance of getting the D will grow to 99% if he is Jamaican. Fuck buddy number one, the one with the big hands and a voice like Slow Jen, texts to say he's going to be in your town for the weekend and he wants you to show and prove all that shit you've been talking during phone sex. Today's forecast? 100% chance of thunderstorms when you realize it's the same weekend as your kid's science competition in the next state over. Another fancy party with beautiful people and a beautiful boy, a whole decade between you. Another bouncing bundle of insecurities wrapped in dreams deferred. Today's forecast? Blue skies with the promise of never again picking up where some mother left off raising her baby boy. A married man you love and admire, who you once had a massive crush on, signals that he is willing. Today's forecast? Drought conditions brought on by the memories of Hurricane blank and the destruction left in his wake. A married man who you loved back when you were both still kids, high off high school French and Lisa Lisa and cult jam songs and condoms sometimes and college plans, offers you pending divorce comfort in the form of a diagram of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Today's forecast, a tsunami of memories of how well you have been loved in your lifetime. A married man whose wife you know slides into the DMs to humble brag about their luxury SUV and their our kind of people status, lament their Leave It to Beaver sex life, and let you know that he's always thought you were smart and sexy. Today's forecast, it's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining shameless men. Chance of sex, Negro please. You declare partnered men off limits. You speak this aloud. Today's forecast, winds out of the east are calm. Chance of action, 50%. 5 minutes after you declare partnered men off limits, you get a Facebook friend request and a "you cross my mind" and message from a boy, now a married man, who you had a crush on and fooled around with 30 years ago. Today's forecast. You shake your fist at the fucking sky. Yes, even the sky is fucking and you aren't. 8 minutes after former crush messages you an OG Hotep, minus the misogyny, who once sent you next lifetime poems about the Nile and your breasts, reached out to "see how you doing, sister." He is still with his girlfriend of 20 years. Today's forecast, flurries of ghosts of dick past. Fuck buddy number two reveals just how fragile his masculinity is when he realizes you really do only want him for one thing. Not that he wants more from you or wants to give you more of himself. He just wants you to want more from him. Today's forecast, a tropical storm of fuckery not even worth naming is downgraded as it grazes your coast. You meet a brilliant, mesmerizing Haitian boy, young enough to be your son if God had not looked out for teenage fools and babies. He writes stories that make you weep and fall in love with words all over again. Today's forecast, plenty of glorious sun and friendship. Chance of the D, 0%. Fuck buddy number three is a wonderful, wise, but weary old soul. Today's forecast, gray skies are gonna clear up. From healthguidance.org, yeast infections are not sexually transmitted and are often caused by menopause. Of all vaginal infections, yeast infections are one of the main symptoms of menopause caused by the fluctuating hormones leading to bacteria in the vagina going out of control. Today's forecast, probiotics and a rain check? You and your friend Brandon, who is gay, institute a weekly date night consisting of going to his favorite Indian restaurant so he can ogle the wait staff. Today's forecast, your pussy is gonna dry up like a raisin in the sun and crust over and sugar over like a syrupy sweet. Your girlfriend's plan to throw you a surprise party for your 50th, complete with strippers. You get wind of it and gently put the kibosh on it. Because while you support sex workers, your heart just isn't in it. What you really want is just somebody, some body, some holding, a different kind of Langston Hughes poem, like the one about 1,000 lights of sun, or even the one about letting the rain kiss you. Today's forecast, climate change is real. You're feeling juicy and full of precipitation and yeast-free, and that bald guy who always sits next to you on the bus home from work, even when he could have a whole seat to himself, who smells like fine leather and good home training and a wee bit of top shelf scotch, today, that guy could get it. Thank you.